It's time to focus on what drives e-commerce results. It's time for Browse Basket Buy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Browse Basket Buy, the podcast slash webinar series that thinks that all branding should still involve hot metal straight from a fire. Now, joining me today, very excited to say, is Danny Bramall. Hello, Danny.
Hello. Good afternoon, Dan. How are we?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Now, what I like to get people to do, rather than me mangling your introduction, telling people about your background and stuff, I'll just hand over to you. So please tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your background.
Oh, blimey. Where do we start? I guess, head of brand for an amazing company called Pretty You London currently. And being sort of head of brand slash brand director type roles for the last, I'd say, 15 years, something like that. Started off back in the day was more or less sort of women's wear design, not more or less, it was women's wear design at London College of Fashion. That's where I started. So very much in the design world and product world. And then sort of found myself kind of stumbling upon more of the marketing side of things and then into brand strategy. And so utilizing, I guess, those what I call my sort of three pillars, if you will, which is sort of creative, you know, brand strategy and marketing planning as well. So that's a little bit about me. I guess I've done agency side and in-house roles as well, in-house roles such as Boohoo Man, Public Desire and numerous others, and then worked agency side and worked with retailers such as John Lewis and worked very closely with their SLT team and all the sort of campaigns as well. So yeah, a bit of a sort of a mixed bag really, but overall brand, very much a brand and creative person. Yeah.
Exactly.
Is that enough? A little?
That's plenty. A good mixed background. I actually had a very similar start myself. I started more as a graphic designer and then moved into marketing. Just having a bit of a commercial mindset and all that kind of stuff to it, which was interesting. So
yeah, I think it happens though quite naturally, that isn't it? Because you want to know where your creative's being placed and how it's being pushed and how it's being used, and then you sort of lift the bonnet of things and start to find all of that really interesting, the mechanics really behind it all.
Yes, what works and how it works and why it works and all that kind of stuff is interesting. Yeah. So today, we're going to talk all about branding for e-commerce and retail generally, which you've had lots of experience of, and specifically when it matters. So yeah, let's start at the beginning with the brand versus performance thing. I think we know which side you're going to come down on, but you know, every e-commerce business faces this. There's a battle between kind of brand, building equity over time, value, and then performance, which is all around countdown timers and buttons and the testing things and trying to get performance as well as possible. So in your view, where's the right place to fall down? Where's everything fit together in this puzzle?
I'm sort of, just to give a bit of context to my answer here. So I'm sort of 3 months in with Pretty You London, and I joined as head of brand, as you know. And this, at the same time, a head of e-commerce started as well. So both myself and Ben joined the business, and you know, the business has done brilliantly up until now, right? But we need to surge, we need to build the brand, we need to build the business, and that's our objective as a SLT team. And of course, right now we're in the throes of these conversations, right? Because obviously he's got his objectives and where he wants to fall by way of performance and sessions and all that sort of stuff and all that digital sort of marketing side of things. Of course, I'm then pushing brand and creative and all of that sort of stuff. So we've had many conversations. In fact, we had one just last night. And look, there's no magic formula. If there were, we'd all be millionaires, right? So I think it's finding a natural balance for the brand that you want to be. I mean, obviously, I'm always going to fight for brand first, you know, brand and brand awareness and investing in brand. But of course, it's got to convert, right? It's got to, ultimately, what we're all doing is selling products, ultimately, right? So even as a creative person, I have to lean on the side of, if something's not performing well, let's take, for example, a recent challenge we've had with some of the model selects. I came into the business and we sort of cleaned up, if you will, or just sort of elevated, you know, a different look and feel to what historically had been done for the brand. Nothing too dramatic, but just about a general sort of reshoot. And some of the models are performing brilliantly and some of the model selects are not. And you know, I have to swallow that, right? And to sort of say, okay, from a creative and a brand kind of representation point of view, these worked for me and these worked for what I believe are going to attract more audience, new audiences, and not to offend existing too much, right? But invariably, you know, some of the numbers there are showing that a couple of the models in certain products, the audience aren't liking them too much. So I guess I have to swallow that and say, right, okay, we take note from that and we take learnings from that. And I think ultimately, that's what it's all about. It's about testing and learning, because even as a brand that's well established, you'll see a switch up. You know, every few years they'll switch it up again just to keep things fresh, just to keep exciting consumers and attracting, whether it's a younger audience or an older audience that they're going after, to broaden that you know, that customer base. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and I think yeah. So it, as you say, it's almost optimization and testing and learning on both sides, right? There's a very obvious sort of history of that on performance, but brand is the same, right? It's about figuring out what works and then using that more.
Exactly. You know, exactly. There's no, you know, I mean, and again, this is probably something I'll harp on about throughout this podcast. And if people are listening to this call that know me, they'll start laughing because I say it all the time, and it's about asking the audience, testing the audience, you know, seeing what their reaction is. And sometimes, look, if it's not a great reaction, is that necessarily a bad thing? Has it caused some kind of attention? Is it the right kind of attention or not? You know, we have to keep learning and keep testing, and that's what creative's all about. You know, I remember at Public Desire Days, and this is, wow, how long ago was I there? Quite a while ago now. And it was at the point where they were so digital. They were so through the line, below the line. They're totally obsessed with social. I then had to encourage them to do above the line activity because they'd just never done it before. But it was around that time that personalization really started to kick in. Let's do some regional activity, regional campaigns, do it where we're personalizing that creative. Let's see what products they engage with, what tone of voice, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And let's see what really gains traction. And now, of course, personalization is a given. It's standard, you know. But back then it was something that was kind of relatively new by way of bespoke creative, you know, and not one size fits all sort of mentality, which some brands still do. But I think the audience expects more now. You know, I think consumers expect more. And we're seeing that trend change as well. I know that one of your questions is likely to be around, you know, sort of, you know, that sort of fast kind of purchase mentality. And you expect that on Amazon, right? You expect to be quick at the checkout with even looking at Amazon, you bought something, right? That's how sort of smooth it is. But then with the different, it depends on what product you're selling. You know, if you're selling a quality product, people want to consider that for longer, right? So the purchase journey is much different.
You mentioned between you and this e-commerce performance person who's come in, there's a bit of a, you mentioned the word fight, but there's a bit of a tension between the two things. Can that be a healthy tension? Is there a way of making that a healthy tension?
You know, it has to be. You've got to respect each other's worlds because we have to coincide with one another. So it's just about negotiation, really. Who wins the fight? It depends on, you know, again, down to building a brand for longevity, or is it a quick win? You know, let's say, for example, an obvious one is, how long do we stay in sale? How many times do we do a mid-season sale? Because then we don't, from my point of view, I don't want the brand to constantly look in distress. But of course, then if stock needs shifting, then we need to obviously go into that boot of sort of, you know, a promo. So it really is finding that balance, you know, of, okay, when can this become brand damaging is probably the question you need to ask, you know. Are we starting to annoy our customers with too much messaging? Are we bombarding them with too many loyalty messages? Or, you know, are we confusing them as well, you know, with promos, which tends to happen And especially like we've seen this year, more than any other year, Black Friday is very self-serving now. You know, it's definitely not one day. It's not just Black Friday. It's not just Cyber Monday. It's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, and prior to that, we're now finding sort of mid-season sales and all that kind of stuff. We have to be careful that you're not sort of leading with your product that's constantly in sale. Actually, some of our products is worth full price, and we've got to stick to our guns and keep them at full price, you know. But yeah, it's a healthy, I wouldn't say tension, it's always a healthy debate.
Okay. Debate is fine, yeah. Debate, tension, whatever, yeah, if that's the right word. Yeah, no, it's absolutely, it's always a balance, and it's about finding the right way through and as a healthy debate about what's the right. And you've worked both online brands and in store, you know, physical brands as well with store presences. What's the difference there? So if you're starting like a D2C kind of online brand, obviously it's a question of how do you make that distinctive, that real experience stand out in a different way when you haven't got a physical presence. What are the key things, do you think, to make something stand out when it's online, when it's purely a digital thing?
I think it's about journey, you know. I mean, this goes back to when I go into a company, whether it's been agency side or consulting or in-house like I am now, you know, like I say, starting at Pretty U London, you know, there are some guidelines there. The let's call them, you know, modest, but there's some guidelines there. But with regards to any kind of deep dive or any brand strategy, we've yet to do that. You know, that's part of why I'm there. To implement all of this stuff. And what comes with that, of course, is brand personality. So, you know, you see some brands that have got such a strong brand personality that they are, well, let's say spec savers, that's an obvious one, right? Yeah. You know, their personality is built around humor. And you know, it's almost laughing at yourself for having, you know, bad eyesight, right? It's making fun of that. And to do that, you've got to be brave. You've got to really know your brand and know your audience to say, would they find this funny? Yes, they would, you know. Yeah. Let's run with that. And now you see spec savers popping up on people's TikToks and making comments and, you know, adding in that humour bit like Ryanair, you know. And I think that's how you stand out, is by knowing your brand personality. And of course, what comes with that is being brave, because you've done the research and you're confident in your brand in order to stand out. And, you know, I guess another aspect of this as well is sort of, you know, going back to above the line. I may have talked about this at the Fashion Network event where we met, was, you know, is automotive. You know, that sector back in the day, back in the old Mad Men days of true, you know, traditional advertising, you know, tone of voice was everything. You know, the ads really drew you in. They were really creative. Volkswagen, for example, of course, first of all, springs to mind. And now you look at you look at car ads, and they're pretty boring.
Yeah,
right. It's just a picture of the car, looks gorgeous. You know, it's, and that's it. You know, there's a sign off at the bottom. Might be about finance, being a bit whatever. But it's not inspiring. Not like they were back in the day. And I think we are having to move, we have to move that creative approach, because big tech has made us boring in the creative world. Not by choice, but huge rollout. Like working with John Lewis, I mean, the amount of assets that are produced is mammoth. It's huge. And by way, I'm not saying that they're boring. They're very, very brave with their creative. But the majority of times, because we are trying to retarget so much, we have more asset rollout than ever before. That can cause churn, right? And so we lose that brand personality. We lose that personalization, and we lose that engagement, because it literally becomes wallpaper.
And that's a really interesting point around the, yeah, how you bring that brand personality through. A lot of the advice around performance tactics, around, you know, CRO, about how to make your your e-commerce site perform better are very generic, are very, you know, sort of, you know, these are the things you can do. Everyone should do these same things and that'll make your website perform better. So how do you go about sort of trying to introduce a little bit of that distinctiveness into those areas? Is that something you find quite straightforward?
Into which particular areas, Dan? Sorry.
So if you're working with, as I say, you've got someone else who's in charge of the sort of e-commerce performance side, their job is very much, you know, they're thinking about page elements and what can they add and take away and move around and make the checkout flow easier and all that kind of stuff. And most of the advice around that area is, as I say, pretty generic. It's always it's basically like you use these tactics and that will make things better. But you still want to be distinctive. So how can you bring that distinctive edge to something like that, which is quite just a process, really. It's quite a straightforward process, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's UX, isn't it? That's UX versus content, I think, is probably the question here, isn't it? You know, UX-wise, it's okay, what flows best? I mean, you know, Ben, you know, like I say, has done loads of work already we've got a new theme, for example, constantly updating the checkouts, constantly updating the colour swatches and trying to make that journey as smooth as possible. Mm-hmm. But by way of, and that is to a point generic, to a point, but I guess to stand out within that journey, it's content. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, are we showing enough of the product detail? Are we showing enough angles? Are we showing them what they want to see? You know, is the video engaging? Is it showing the fabric and how it falls well? Are we showing variation of model and size, you know, and skin tone? Mm. You know, are we inspiring, you know, as well? Yeah, I think, you know, for us, we are doing a lot of testing and learning at the minute. And, you know, we've seen, we're now sort of using a lot more of our campaign imagery within the e-com. Mm. Which is great because that mixes things up, right? That's sort of an inspirational piece. And I'd say if we take a brand like Zara, you know, they do that very well. You know, they really do cause noise with their art direction.
Yeah.
You know, their model angles, for example, and their still life and all that sort of stuff. And that, I suppose, is kind of almost giving you a different experience online whilst you're in that sort of purchase journey.
Yeah.
I'm speaking from myself here as well, because we're all consumers, right?
Yeah.
If I see a particular item in situ as a campaign, you know, and I'd look at that product and I like the model and she, you know, she almost emulating her life, I'm like, yeah, I kind of want a piece of that. But then I go to the next page and it's a flat lay. Yeah, I can see the product clearly. Mm. But what enticed me to click through was obviously that the image that inspired me, that world, if you will. Mm. But would the flat lay the other way around have made me click through? Probably not.
Yeah.
So I think it's that. I think it's working with content the best that you can to give people the best journey and inspire them really with the product. How good can this product look?
Yeah. You know?
I don't know if that answers your question.
It does. Yeah, no, it's absolutely, absolutely. One thing that occurs as well, one thing I've talked to a lot of retailers about at events as well, you know, there's a big focus often on an e-commerce site about product discovery, about product recommendations and that kind of thing. And there's a real balance between, it's really interesting to talk to different kinds of retailers with different kinds of brands about this challenge. How do they balance discovery with serendipity, if you like? So how do they balance, you know, people who are searching for a very specific thing? I want a red jumper. It's very easy to say, right, they'll search for a red jumper, find a red jumper, buy the red jumper. But if they're not sure what they're looking for, it's a bit trickier in the e-commerce world to just do that thing of like, how do you stumble across something and go, oh, actually, that's really interesting. How do you put a lot, is there a lot of thought you put into that as well as part of the brand experience? Like, how do we get people to kind of not just search for specific things, but sort of broaden out and look around and have a bit of a browse, essentially, in an e-commerce environment.
Okay, that's a big question. I guess that's a bit of a mixed question, as I interpret it to be. Mm. You know, because that's a brand awareness piece, isn't it? Mm. I mean, now I speak to friends, and they say when I'm in market and I'm ready in market, I'm ready to purchase, I've got cash in hand, I don't know where to shop. Hmm. That's what they'll say. I don't know where to go. You know, so it's It's a bit like, if you want to be front of mind, which is exactly where we want to be for Pretty You London, we want to be a brand first mentality brand. We want to be that sort of front of mind. We don't want people just to happen to, like you're saying, the serendipitous moment of stumbling upon us to say, oh, that's a nice pyjama set, but I'm not in the market for a pyjama set. Maybe one day, but then, of course, we're out of mind. It's the, you know, the ideal, of course, is what everybody's striving for, surely, is that, you know, oh, I need some more pyjamas. It's Pretty You London, obviously, is where I'm going to go first. And that is the ultimate goal, isn't it, to be completely front of mind. So I suppose for me, it's a brand awareness piece. It's not necessarily catching. I mean, because that is so difficult to do, and you spend a lot. You know, you need big pockets to do that, right? To just constantly just throw out so much content to happen to come across someone who's in the market for your product at that time. Yeah. You can't solely rely upon that. You know, I guess this is what, you know, the digital and e-com team do at Pretty You London. They, you know, they are sort of, you know, monitoring and watching our audiences and our desired audiences.
Yeah.
Of course, trying to strategize around the right time to serve them that ad or to serve that, you know, the right content. And again, you know, at the minute we are in a big sort of test and learn sort of period. But
yeah,
I think you can't solely rely upon one thing. It's got to be a mix of everything in order to capture the person at the, you know, the customer at the right time.
And is there a good time when it is the right time to start thinking about brand? You know, if you're in a smaller company and you're growing, and initially you're just going to get a lot of sales through people finding you, and you kind of like do a bit of sharing and get some people to recommend you. But is there a time when brand becomes more important, where you'd say this is the time to really start thinking about brand as your company's growing? Or is it worth thinking about it from day one and thinking really about what kind of brand you want to be?
I would of course say yes. It's day one, you know. Yeah, I mean, surprise, surprise. Yeah. You know, like I say, you know, Pretty London. Not to keep plugging them, of course, plugging us, but you know, they have got to a point where it's absolutely a brilliant business already. But you know, there's a surge needed, you know, to go on that next level of growth. Mm-hmm. You really have to then reinvest in your brand. Right, okay, how can we become that brand that's absolutely known for loyalty, good quality, good service, you know, great sort of price position, all of those things? How can we make it so well that we're the absolute go-to? You know, and that happens when I'm not saying this is the case here, but with majority of brands, when they flatline, because they get so far with huge activity below the line and just spending loads of money on paid, but then it's like, well, now what? When they flatline, they don't know how's that next, you know, growth spurt coming from? Well, it's reinvestment in other areas, because you've concentrated so much on draining these particular, you know, demographics or these chosen, you know, you chosen audience. You need to cast the net wider, right? How do we do that? Well, we need to think about the full media mix, right? So how do we make sure that we know our customer so well that we know what they'll need before they do? And that's really macabre and quite dark, but you know,
I think it's a really good point. It's really important to think about. We often say this to retailers, like, what you really want to spend all your time thinking about is what kind of brand are we? What should we be selling? What, you know, how do we grow this? What, you know, what's the experience we want people to have? How do we provide a great experience and great customer service? Those are the key things that are really going to make you successful. A lot of the rest of the stuff is, you just want to take care of it and just make sure it's all working.
It's maintenance, you know, but it's from the very beginning. In an ideal world, you know, I built brands from scratch, from a blank piece of paper, you know, in particular when I was agency side, because there would be those, you know, those clients that would come in and say, right, I've got this amazing product. I've got this coffee product or whatever it is, you know, I've got this product but I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what we stand for. I don't know how we should sound. I don't know how we should look. Help sort of thing, you know. And you'd start the brand off from scratch, and they were the best projects because they completely had the right foundations to grow upon. It's just like building a house, right?
Yeah,
you need solid foundations in order to keep the house sturdy and to build upon the house if you want to do an extension or, you know, I know that sounds really cheesy, but you get what I mean. And
yeah.
I think it's about having those right foundations in place. And, you know, it's also not to build a brand. I always say this too. It's not to build a brand that's rigid either or to restrict. You know, a brand is there as almost you have to humanize it. And like us humans, we grow and learn and we change. You know, our core values stay the same, but ultimately we grow with what's ever changed. You know, we've got AI now. So how, you know, as a brand, you've got to adapt to that. So, you know, it's not about giving something to, you know, building something where it's not got the opportunity to grow and develop either. Yeah. So day one is my answer.
Day one, 100%. Get on brand from day one. I mean, I think it's why most people would start an e-commerce brand, right? They've got an idea of, here's something I think I'm passionate about, I could sell, and I've got a clear idea of what that's kind of going to look like and what the, and whether that's based on me, myself, my own preferences, or what I think it should be like. You're going to have a good idea.
Exactly. And also when it comes to MPD, right? So it's a bit like, okay, you've got that one coffee product, but what would it look like if you wanted to launch, I don't know, a blended beetroot drink or whatever, something that's not actually, but it's within the sort of, you know, the drinks category, you know, how does that look? Okay, well, this is our persona here for our coffee, but this guy actually lives with this wife, with his wife, and his wife is actually not, she's anti-caffeine. So, okay, so we're in that household already. How do we sell up to him for his partner? So it's all of that, you know, really understanding, I guess, what your foundations are and what your chosen or desired audience is, and then how can we build upon that when we start to really do our product development. And in fact, what other products should we start to launch? Because that's the other question as well. So, you know, because the possibilities are endless, or we could do this and we could do that. You know, I've had clients in the past that have got ridiculously excited and started throwing out really crazy suggestions. And it's like, but yeah, we have to challenge that back, but it comes back to brand and brand strategy again, you know, and that kind of holds people in a bit more of control of spiraling into something that's probably not suitable. But
it gives you kind of a framework or guide rails about, you know, these are the sort of things, this is where you should be, not wildly deciding. Although I do like the idea of a beetroot drink, nice and purple, nice bright.
Oh, Glenn Smith, there you go, was one of my old clients, so check them out.
There we go. So one thing we like to do, we like to give everyone a bit of a practical takeaway, one thing they could just go away and do quite quickly, go and try, go and change, go and think about. So Danny, have you got something brand related that people could go away and just think about quite quickly that might help them?
Something that would, well, I would never advocate for anything quick. Is the first answer.
I like it. Subvert the question, that's absolutely fine.
Sorry, Dan. But yeah, never, because, and again, this is something that goes back to what does good creative look like in the world of AI and everything else. This is another question I'm asked quite a lot. And my answer is so simple. It's time. We have started to become so quick at everything now, and we expect everything to be done so quickly. It goes back to the ads, right? The car ads. You know, that was a bunch of people, copywriters and art directors in a room, thrashing it out, test, you know, and challenging each other in a room probably for days and days until they got the right line, you know. And now we're just sort of, everything needs to be quick. Well, in fact, no, you need to actually stop and give creative and give any sort of brand development, you need to give it some time and some thought and some craft. It needs craft, you know. So I think a takeaway would be, start to build more time into your day, into your development day. You know, go down a rabbit hole. Allow yourself an hour a day to just research stupid things, because you never know when that might spark an idea off, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, your practical takeaway is be curious. I think that is a great takeaway. Fabulous. Right, Danny, where can people find you? If they want to find you online, they can find you on LinkedIn, right?
LinkedIn, yes, is the easy one, and the only one, I think.
Danielle Brammel. One day you're going to launch your own e-commerce brand, right? We talked about that. You're going to do that one day.
Yes, one day, this one behind me, perfect human, one day will happen. Yeah.
Get you back on and we'll talk all about how you've launched your own brand, because that would be very interesting for people. Danny, thank you so, so much for joining me today. That was really great, really useful, and I think some really nice little bite-sized nuggets for people to take away, like be curious and think in the long term and that kind of thing. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Dan, for having me. And speak again soon.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Bye-bye. Browse Basket Buy is brought to you by your friends at Revlifter. Promotions work, but they damage brand and margins. Revlifter's intelligent offers drive results by using behavioural signals to target the right customers at the right time. Customers typically see 20% more conversions, 30% higher AOV, 5% more revenue, and a 10% saving on promotional costs. So stop wasting discounts on people who'd buy anyway. Try Revlifter free for 90 days and they'll handle all the heavy lifting. Visit revlifter.com to find out more. That's revlifter.com.